Yo, what up? Welcome to the Free Refills podcast, where we come together as youth leaders to discuss the realities of leading in youth ministry. Our hope is that you leave refilled, refueled, and re-energized to carry on in youth ministry. I'm your host, Boss, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dusty.
Yep.
And we've brought in a special guest today, Wayne Morgan, who is a part of our executive team for the National Network of Youth Ministries. Wayne, welcome.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on.
Hey Wayne, can you introduce yourself real quick to everybody who's listening so they get a sense of who you are and where you're at?
Sure. Yeah, I'm the Northeast coordinator for National Network of Youth Ministries, part of the executive team, and been in youth ministry for like 20 years now. I'm getting old. I have a 15-year-old daughter, 13-year-old son, and an 8-year-old son. Been married to my wife for 19 years this year, and so been a part of National Network of Youth Ministry since 2004, and just have seen the benefit for collaboration, working together. I love National Network so much, I decided to start working for them about 6 years ago.
Awesome. So we are thankful that you're with us. We're glad that you were able to, you know, create some space in your busy schedule to be with us to have this conversation today. And, another thing for you to be aware of is that Nick will not be with us during this conversation because at the time of the recording, he was on a mission trip leading students in feet of snow. It's going to be a great experience for him, and we look forward to his safe return and his voice back on future conversations. Today's conversation really revolves around the recent headlines that have been out there, the scandals that have been out there within the church and within the youth ministry world, with the sexual abuse stuff that is out there. We thought it would be necessary to have a conversation about this and to talk about what's our take and kind of begin that conversation, because we have, from the very beginning, we said we would talk about the real issues going on in youth ministry. And this is a real issue going on in youth ministry, and we're not going to shy away from it.
Yeah, big time.
A little bit of us is we're a little nervous because, well, we're kind of getting out front and we're talking about it, and but that's who we are, and that's what we want to do, because we're for the youth leader and we're for a healthy, surviving, thriving youth leader, and we've got to talk about this issue. So
yeah it's a real issue, and I think for here in the Northeast, there was a denomination that had a huge abuse scandal. So I've worked in a ministry environment that started to kind of be suspect to youth workers because of a ministry scandal and a denomination that was dealing through some of this type of stuff. So I've seen this firsthand in my location. But we've all worked with kids who've been abused. And I think this is a great conversation about, it's just a peer-to-peer, this is a leadership conversation. So we're talking to brothers and sisters who are in the trenches, really want them to really consider, we live in a world where if we're not careful, we can isolate ourselves and we can get into a spot where we are not accountable. And all of a sudden, before we know it, we're playing around with a sin that's going to mess us up. And it's not just going to mess us up, but it could have spiritual implications for students that we serve, not just for here and now, but they could walk away from Jesus because we were playing around with a sin that we shouldn't have been playing around with. So so I think it's really important to have this conversation. We just want to be an encouragement, man. If you're in that spot where you're isolated, you don't have somebody to talk to, that's what the National Network of Youth Ministries is all about. We believe that when you connect with other youth workers, you can talk about real issues, you can start to heal from stuff, and we need to be able to lead better, because what's happening right now, it's not good enough. We need to do better.
Right. You know, we're addressing this topic of isolation, but you know, we felt like it was like a call to arms moment for us. After hearing that 100 of our fellow youth workers, right. The article that was released, 100 youth workers are, in Houston are accused of sexual misconduct, you know, and we have to be aware that this is not the first time this has happened. Wayne has just said that he's been through this before with a group in his area, and how that has affected his entire ministry. He was even told me, like, I almost lose respect if I enter a conversation and say I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, how, okay, first off, I'm sorry. How interesting is it that if the enemy can even make us ashamed to say that we are a pastor in a conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, think about that for a second. Like, if we are called to be unashamed of the gospel, it's almost like we are almost ashamed to say that we're a pastor, not because we've done anything wrong.
Right. Oh yeah.
But because that we know the situations around us. And then it's like, if I say I'm a pastor here, they're going to stop listening to me, you know? Right. And so that's just a crazy situation to me. You know, this is not the first time. And man, I wish today that there would be no more. There would be no more sexual misconduct in any title, in any field, in any way, that I would never have to, if we never had to see another child ever go through this.
Yeah.
Or anybody. I don't even care how old you are. But I have a 2-year-old daughter. Wayne, you said you have a 15-year-old. You know, I have a 2-year-old daughter who is literally sleeping right next to me, that I'm thinking in my mind, like, oh, this isn't the world I want her growing up in.
No. Yeah. Well, and I joke around. I'm like, man, I'll go back to prison if you mess with her. But the truth is, man, every time I read one of these things, my stomach turns. I picture her and I'm like, this is not acceptable. And if it's in other arenas, it doesn't surprise me when it's in other arenas, but we as spiritual leaders, we've got to remember, this isn't a surprise for us. Like, think about it. In the scriptures, Paul tells the church in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6, he says, man, watch out for yourselves because you could be tempted.
Yeah.
Temptation is something, it's a reality. I think in a world, we're not talking about holiness very much. And we're talking a lot about grace, but we are in a world where temptation is at our fingertips. And so when we're focusing on sin, we've got to have those deep conversations. Maybe our network's got to be more than a lunch. Maybe a friend of mine, I was talking to yesterday, and he's like, I need an event. I need a group that doesn't just focus on events and lunches. I need somebody who cares enough to ask the hard questions.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't happen in staff meeting. You know, if we start talking about some of the things that we're really struggling with, man, in a pastoral setting, you could lose your job for some of those conversations just because you're struggling with an issue.
Yeah.
Networks are places where you can have great conversations. You can be honest. But then you can start to process through in healthy ways. Man, you know, Dusty, have you ever dealt with this? And how did you overcome it? Or how are you working through it and get advice and have somebody speak life into you?
So if you're listening to this and you have a network, right? If you're in a network, if you're leading a network, hear us, right? Yeah. You just heard our executive team member. Hear us as people who are working to encourage the healthy network. This is the place where we are hoping these conversations will happen.
Yeah.
Nothing against you if you are just having lunch, right? But make sure that there are some heavy conversations so that some of this can be aired out.
Yeah. Don't get it twisted first that we're making some sort of sweeping, you know, like call that if you're a part of a group of youth leaders that this won't happen to you or anything like that. We're not saying that, because I think we've all been a part of communities in some way, whether it's a small group, whether it's a network that we call, you know, a group of youth leaders, whatever it may be, that we have had a brother or sister who have stumbled and we've all looked at them and gone like, why didn't you tell us?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Also, Wayne, you said this, like, we are spiritual leaders. We are leaders. We are put in a position of leadership, and leaders lead. Leaders go first. Leaders show and set examples. So we can't sit around and say, well, you never ask me about that, mm-hmm. right? We personally have to have a conviction within ourselves that says, I have to be honest. I have to be honest for the sake of others. And I have to say this because I've got to protect whatever might come from this. All of us are capable of these types of actions.
Yeah.
Too many times, like I've read headlines. I've done that before. And I've been like, man, I would never do that either. Like I would never do that. But then I have to catch myself and realize, wait a second, that's a person.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like me. And there's a potential, there's a route out there in which steps could be made every single day that could lead me down that path. And I don't want that. And so I'm going to be honest with the people that are closest to me that know me for me and won't judge me for what's going on, or will judge me and will look at me and say, hey, you got to get your stuff together and we're going to sit next to you until you do.
Right.
And we're going to sit with you. That's what the communities we're talking about. That's what we need. I can't have any more friends who get caught in something or who eventually tell us when it's too late. I can't have that anymore. I don't want that. My heart breaks for it.
Yeah.
And this stuff weighs so heavy on me because it doesn't have to be this way. That's the thing, is it doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah.
We as leaders can stop this.
Yeah, the gravity of what we're called to as leaders is pretty huge. Jesus said, don't cause one of these little ones a sin. You know, it's better for them to have a millstone hung around them, around their neck. James says, you know, the teachers will be held to a more strict standard. So we shouldn't walk into a network meeting as leaders and expect that, to expect that the people that we're working with aren't dealing with this. I think it's a good thing to have tough conversations. We need to be able to call each other up, and we need to be able to encourage one another. But in the vast majority of the places that I've seen this happen, and especially in my life, when I step into sin, I start to back away from my connection with other people. Don't you guys see that?
Yeah, I see that too, because the sin issue causes an isolation issue, because mm-hmm. we hole ourselves up and we start to believe that lie of isolation, that we aren't like anybody else.
Yeah.
Everybody else has got it going on. Like they've got it figured out. I remember, and it constantly runs through my head from time to time. It comes back that something's going on in my life. Either it's something I've personally done or something has happened to me, and I will have passed people on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I walk on sidewalks. That's weird. I know, but I'll pass people in grocery stores and all that sort of thing. And I will say in my mind, I bet they're not going through that.
Yeah.
I bet they're not going through that. And I will catch myself in that, believing that lie, and I become isolated.
Right.
And I sit by myself and I wallow in it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about today. Like we're talking about an isolation issue and a sin issue, because isolation is that lie that the evil one gets to us and goes, yeah, you're by yourself.
Yep.
Right. We read it in scripture. We read it in the Garden of Eden, in the perfect place that God created. It happened there. And Satan was going like, yeah, you're alone. You're by yourself.
You know, why we're stepping into this isolation, when we brought this up pre-recording and we were just kind of talking through some things, I made sure we wrote down Proverbs 18:1-2. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Hmm. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. I think the first, obviously, if you hear anything, the fact that it says that though who isolates himself, mm. his own desire.
Yeah.
So it almost looks like even just isolation in itself is a temptation towards sin. And here's the next thing. I remember we were also talking in pre-recording, Wayne, talking about the weight of James 3:1.
Oh man.
Those who teach would be judged more strictly. That he's literally warning. Not everybody should be a leader or a teacher in the church.
Yeah.
And then Luke 17 saying that you quoted that it was like, it would be better that if anybody leads these little ones to sin, that it would be better off for you to have a millstone wrapped around your neck. I remember reading that when I was stepping into leadership 9 years ago, thinking, nope, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want any of this responsibility.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't want any of this.
Yeah. And as a leader, I mean, like, I want to stop this. Like, we don't want to just react. We don't want to respond. We want to stop it. We want to be proactive, because right. I read that and my stomach still flips. I'm like, all right, God, that's a checkpoint for me. I'm like, am I causing someone to sin? Like, there is some stuff that I've given up that wasn't bad that I've given up because I know that when I participate in it, people say, oh, a pastor's doing it, so I'm going to participate with mm-hmm. it as well. Mm-hmm. I never, ever, ever want that verse to be something that I stand before Almighty God and he goes, you know, you did a great job, but there was this one thing that you just kept causing people to sin with and you just kept doing it over and over again. It wasn't bad, but so many people started worshiping basketball or so many people started worshiping cars because of your influence, and instead of worshiping me. Hmm. And so I think as leaders, there's a couple of things that we can do to, we're asking as National Network of Youth Ministries, as people who are listening to this, we expect that you're probably in a leadership position. We expect that you're probably somebody who pours into leaders. We want to encourage you to ask tough questions. Part of our statement and of mission and values is that we want to have a personal discipleship. We want people to see our lives and say, yeah, that's exactly what a pastor should be. And so to be able to ask the tough questions about when we start seeing leaders that we work with, when we stop having connection with them, you know, like, let's go after those people. Let's, as peers, hey, how you doing? How are things going? Sending text messages to people saying, bro, I'm praying for you today. Hey, sister, you came to mind, and I just want to let you know I'm praying for you, so that there is, so that we're actually going after soul issues as leaders instead of just planning the next big event together.
Yeah, we will continue to have conversation about isolation. You will hear that from our ministry over and over and over and over again. We will talk about this every single day, because this is the root of where we get into loneliness, leads to isolation, and isolation eventually can lead to us completely compromising our values mm-hmm. and losing everything. Before I think we continue on in this, like, if you've been a victim of this, we are so sorry.
Yeah.
I can't speak for everyone, but we are sorry that that has happened, and we don't want you to be alone. Mm-hmm. We don't want you to be quiet. We want you to stand up. We want you to tell somebody. Mm-hmm. But every time that I hear of a report or somebody else that has done something to someone who has been marginalized, my blood boils.
Yeah.
My fists tighten up. And I don't know what to do, because I sit there in frustration and I think, like, why, where is this person? Where can I go and where can I smack them around? And like, what can I do?
With the love of Jesus.
With the love of Jesus, can I do that? Like, I'm gonna, like, I just don't know what to do, yeah. But I can't stand idly by. Mm. There's a conviction that has been placed on me that I'm gonna stand up for the marginalized. I'm gonna stand up for those, and I'm gonna stand up for justice.
Yeah.
And if I got to speak out against it, and I've got to model myself, and I know that by saying all of that, that there's a target being painted right up on my back right now.
Yeah. Enemy don't like that.
And we don't like that.
You know, and I think here's the deal. I mean, when we talk about isolation, I think for the entire conversation so far, we've really talked about it in the sense of that youth worker or that person who is in some kind of leadership in youth work, whether, I don't care if you're a teacher, volunteer, youth pastor. I mean, there's so many things that are around youth, but there's also the isolation of the victim.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't walked through that, but I have as a former teacher, as a youth worker, I have in my 9 years have walked through students who did isolate themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that I want to say whether you're the victim or a youth worker or whatever, don't be alone on either side and just be honest. Just be honest. And if you're that youth worker and you just like, listen, you got to find somebody. We talked about what is a solution for the youth worker. You have to pursue leaders. If you are going to wait for someone to ask you the hard question today, mm-hmm. it's not coming. Mm-hmm. It's just not coming. You have to pursue somebody in your life. If you don't have anybody in your life, youth workers, if you don't have anybody in your life that is going to literally, that you go, man, if I hang out with that guy, he's probably going to ask me something super deep. If you don't have anybody in that life, you better go find one,
yeah.
right? That's protection for you. Mm-hmm. Because here's the deal. There's something inside of you that wants to scream to tell somebody. You want to tell somebody. But if you don't put somebody in your life to do that, you're setting yourself up. And then you are also setting yourself up to blame everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, well, nobody else was there for me. Well, did you pursue anybody else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and going to the victim resources, J.D. Greer, who is a part of the Southern Baptist Church, actually has on his website, it is J.D. Greer, GREEAR.com. And he has a list of what to do. Maybe you're having this conversation and you come up across a student that is, is dealing with some of this and you've never thought about that being proactive, mandated reporting in Pennsylvania, it's a mandated reporting issue. And so you give it over, to child services and they make the determination. We can't do that. We're post Jerry Sandusky in Pennsylvania, so there are laws that are in place that we actually have an incredible, I've had to call several times for student issues. And so if you've never thought about that, this is the time to start implementing some of that. If you personally are looking for, like, I need some resources, I was abused, J.D. Greer's website is also a great place to kind of process through some of that. But the key is don't do it alone. You know, just like Dusty is saying, you need to go see a counselor, you know, find a Christian counselor, find somebody that is going to be able to help you walk through some of this, because this is big stuff. And if you're a leader and you're processing through these big stuff, it may even be a point where you need to pull away from ministry for a little bit so that you can heal. There's nothing wrong with that. My wife and I have gone to counseling. You know, that's a part. It's we want to be the best at who God has created us to be, and the best at what we're called to do. And when we find those issues that are messing us up, it's way better to unplug and say, I need a little bit to focus on this, than it would be to keep pushing through, think that you're going to just forget about it or you're going to heal from it.
I think too, like what Wayne's saying right here is this idea as a youth worker, especially a youth pastor or someone with keys to the church that's in youth ministry, the idea of stepping away from youth ministry or your position, you feel like, oh, well, maybe I'll never get it back again. But here's the deal. What's worse? What's worse?
Yeah.
Pulling back to get right with God, to get right with yourself, to get right in your marriage, to get right in all areas, to get counseling, or to continue to show up every day and dig a deeper hole for the students that you're leading.
Yeah.
Which is worse? If you're hearing this, just think about that. Which is really worse? And I mean, it's kind of rhetorical, but you know, the thing is, you know, I've heard this said before, is the numbers. I wonder what the numbers are, Barna. If you ever come across this, find the numbers of like actual people that have been hurt by the church, and that will, because I'm sure there's a bunch, right? Yeah. That would use the church as I was hurt by the church in one way or the other. And here's the deal: is if you were hurt by the church, please understand this. Jesus didn't hurt you. Okay. Jesus didn't hurt you. You know, if you even look at when Jesus walked the earth with his disciples were the ones that had issues. He didn't have issues, right? Yeah. He tried to lead him. They had the best leader ever to walk this earth, the most perfect leader. And yet they still try to keep kids from him, or they thought it was their right to protect him from everything, right? And then they thought they were the ones that ended up hurting who hurt people, right? And so what we have to understand is like, hey, focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. We as human beings can't be perfect. We can't be perfect. So don't look at us to be perfect.
Yeah, but what we also have to realize as leaders, and especially when we say that we are in the church, right? And that we are people of God, we're men and women of God, and we're spiritual leaders. Wayne, you said that earlier, we're spiritual leaders, that when we step into that position, whether we are paid or unpaid,
yep,
and somebody gives you the keys of authority in that, like the authority that is given to you is that you are speaking for God, you are speaking for Jesus, and
good.
That's where it starts to get convoluted, because in our brains, we go, oh, that person is speaking for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're telling me is that I'm supposed to do this, and Jesus is now telling me this, that it's okay for me to do these things. It's that sort of stuff. And we, as leaders, forget that.
Yeah.
We forget it. Or maybe we remember it and we use it to our advantage. I don't know. I don't know where you're at. But that's where it gets all twisted. That's where it starts to get messed up. And that's where we start leading down these paths of church leader after church leader messing up. And Yeah.
I don't want to be a part of, I want to be able to have those conversations, whether you're at the top of your game or you feel like you don't have anything really to offer. We want to, as National Network of Youth Ministries, we want to encourage youth workers to pursue the calling that God has placed them in, and to do it with the best and with the holiest perspective that we possibly can, you know, like, God has called us to a place of holiness. Be holy, for I am holy. That's hard to deal with in youth ministry context, but you know, for us to be in pursuit of that, and for encouraging each other to be in pursuit of that, so that we aren't just, you know, talking about the next fun and games or talking about a football game, but we're actually caring for each other's souls when we get together, so that when we gather together, we're pushing the ball down the court for the gospel, not just getting together for another coffee or for another lunch. Let's be leaders within our communities.
Yeah. This conversation has been great. And this is the beginning of probably many conversations. We will continue to talk about isolation. We have episodes coming up that are focused even more on being pursued while we're pursuing other people, and feeling that feeling of isolation and what we're supposed to do, because we as a ministry are focused on solutions. And we want to be proactive, like you said, Wayne, and we want to be ahead of this stuff and help so that this doesn't happen. So if you've been encouraged by something that you've heard, maybe you weren't encouraged, maybe you were frustrated at us, whatever it may be, we want to hear from you. So write us at freerefillspodcast@nnym.org. Send us an email, send us a note. We will do our best to respond to you. Also, if you're sitting and you're listening to this and you're thinking, I want a community, or I want to find a community, get on our website, nnym.org. You can search and find communities that are close to your area or maybe in your area that are meeting right now and that are getting together and they're talking about these hard things and they are supporting each other in this and helping walk with each other through this. We want you to be a part of that.
And if you look at something up and it's not there, you can write us still at freerefillspodcast@nnym.org, and we will help you become that person to start something there.
Yeah, because like you said, Dusty, these things don't happen unless we're proactive about it. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, nobody wants to get together. Well, on this issue, I think that this is a common issue that we can gather people around and say, listen, our churches aren't doing a good enough job. How can we prevent this in our communities? And so sometimes we can't gather people because we're not talking about the right issue. This is an issue that we need to be leading in our communities.
Yeah. So as we close, we pray that you are refilled, refueled, and re-energized. And if you were encouraged by this or you found some sort of value in this, make sure to subscribe, rate us, review us. That helps grow this community and spread the word. And or just share it with somebody via text, whatever it may be. Look out for us. First Monday of every month, we'll drop a new pod, and we'll catch you soon. Blessings.